everybody. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax. That music is from the Book of Human Beats by the Mumbles. That song is called The Guidelines. We have today a few candidates from Branch 36 in New York City, or in New York. Let me just throw it to you guys so that you say the right things. Brian, why don't you go ahead and go first and say why you're here today and who you brought with you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Brian Gutierrez. I'm from Branch 36 in New York City, Manhattan. We're here today because our local branch is having their elections. Ballots are going to be going out February 25th, and Election Day is going to be March 27th. So we're here to spread the word and try to get people to understand that our local branch leadership needs to be changed. It's time for a change.
Right on. All right. So yeah, Brian reached out to me and basically told me that he's looking to kick out the good old boys and get his team in there. And he has some ideas for change. So obviously I don't know anything about the people who are running your branch right now, but I saw your platform and some of the things that you guys hit on, I really like. You know, you have some good ideas on there that are about making a more inclusive and a more productive branch. So the first one that I want to talk about is your guys' branch meetings. No, you know what? Actually, before that, I should be a better host and let the other two folks introduce themselves. So first, Tyree.
Yes, sir.
All right. Say hello. Let people know what you're running for.
Well, good afternoon. Good morning, everybody. My name is Tyree Vega. I am from Branch 36, Manhattan, Bronx. I'm running for second vice president treasurer. And I've been in the post office for 25 years. I've been a shop steward for almost 23 years. And like my friend here, Mr. Bryan, said, it's time for change. We need to bring the union up to speed. We're still in the dinosaur age, and we're just moving it up. And we all have this passion, and hopefully we will succeed.
Right on. All right, Ann Carlton.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning. Thank you for having us on this morning. I am Carlton Pinto. I am running for the president for the Branch 36. As you know, the current president has been in there since in the 90s, maybe about 92. So the language is he's from the 8-track days or cassette days where today's generation is on AirDrop. So we need to change the language. We need to change what is going on. So this is one of the reasons why we're out here, so we could be visible. And I know you're getting ready to ask some questions.
I am. Yep. So first, that's actually shocking to me. Your president has been in for more than 30 years?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So that explains some of the things that I'm seeing in your bylaws. Because when I saw your platform, go ahead,
Brian. Sorry, to clarify, he has not been president for 30 years.
Okay.
But he has been in the
a branch officer
board.
Right.
He's been a branch officer for 30 years. He just kind of moved his way up, but he's been a branch officer for 30 years. He's been president for about 16.
Oh my God, that's years? Still a really long time. Yeah, that very much reminds me of the goodest oldest boy who I refer to in my branch from time to time. Yeah, that people who've been in office that long, it takes a really active effort to stay in touch with what goes on the workroom floor and what carriers are feeling.
Yeah, he doesn't do any of that.
All right. So the first part of your platform that I want to talk about is your very first bullet point. It says the current leadership schedules meetings where most members have trouble making the membership meetings. Time for change. We will change the membership meeting time, have virtual membership meetings, and be available 7 days a week, even on Sundays, so all our members can stay informed. So guys, I read in your bylaws that the meetings take place at 5 p.m. That's bonkers.
It makes no sense.
No,
makes no sense.
So this is something, though, I want to ask you guys about this, because it's not something that you can unilaterally change, like once Carlton becomes president. This requires a change to the bylaws, because you have to have the meetings when it says in the bylaws. So yes. Do you guys have a well, you can also change it, it says in your bylaws, by a vote of the membership. Like for the next meeting, you can say, hey, let's vote to move it to 7 p.m. So how do you guys plan to accomplish that? Are you going to propose bylaw changes?
Well, so I guess I'll touch on that. I actually proposed, well, our team proposed 3 bylaw changes this past May.
Okay, cool.
And one of them was to change the meeting time as well as to allow for virtual meetings. And they shut it down on procedural, well, alleged procedural deficiency or whatever.
Right.
There was no deficiency. They did not explain to me exactly what the procedural deficit was. They just claimed it and it got shut down at the meeting because the meeting is controlled by all of the members that support the current regime.
Man, I know that feeling. So, yeah, that's so frustrating. So that's what I was going to ask you guys is, did you already attempt to make some of these bylaw changes? And that's the problem. When you get shut out by the people who are in power, like that they don't even want to let it come to the branch for a vote.
Exactly. I tried to argue with them, and then I was thrown out of the meeting for
being argumentative.
For being boisterous.
Yeah, I hear you. Michael and I haven't been thrown out of a meeting yet, but I feel like Michael's time is coming. All right, so that's the first one. So what time do you want the meeting? Well, let me ask you this. What are your guys' start times there?
Of us start at 8:30.
Oh, so you don't even get off work until 5, if you work 8 hours.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, so the branch president must have... Has the branch president expressed a rationale for not wanting a change of that type?
No, this is part of the problem with our branch president. He doesn't feel like he needs to explain his decisions or his thought process.
It's so frustrating. Carlton, I see you nodding your head there. You've had similar experience?
Yes. Again, for me, so I get up at 4:30. For us to get downtown sometime, it's hard for us to get there in time, especially when we have some of the meetings that is in the Bronx. It takes us about an hour and a half to travel to the Bronx. And a lot of those membership meetings in the Bronx get canceled because we can't reach there in time.
Right. Yeah, of course. I saw that in your bylaws, like every third meeting or something, or 3 a year have to be in the Bronx.
Yes, correct, sir.
Man. Yeah, that's crazy. And then you also have, as part of your platform, that the meetings would be available like by Zoom. And I presume, again, you're getting resistance from the branch president or officers?
Absolutely. They actually had Zoom meetings during COVID.
Right.
Right. And it worked out beautifully. And then when the election year came, which was 2022, they saw that a lot of people were coming in the virtual meetings that they couldn't control.
Right.
And in January, he just arbitrarily said, okay, guys, we're just going to go back to physical meetings starting February. And that was kind of it. You know? And we tried to reason with him. We're like, what's the issue? COVID, the virtual meetings have been working fine. And he just didn't feel like he needed to give any. That was an emergency kind of thing. And now we're back to normal. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Making up his own rules. There's obviously nothing in the bylaws that prohibits those kind of meetings, that prohibits it from being online. You know, we have similar in my own bylaws where it says that the meetings have to be in closed session. So like people outside the union can't sit in on the meeting, but you can control that in Zoom as well. You have your sergeant at arms or whoever like watching who logs in and make sure they're union members.
Exactly.
Right. Man, that is wild. Okay, so the next item on your guys' platform is that the current leadership has their health insurance, life insurance, Social Security, their dues too, Wow. And a retirement premiums paid out of the union dues. So this is all part of their salary. So it's similar to that in my branch. I don't think their dues come out, but it's kind of academic because it comes in and out of the same pot. So this, again, would require a bylaw change. And it's very easy for me to imagine that the people who are in power right now are not interested in these kind of givebacks. What kind of financial footing is your branch on? Are you guys loaded? Are you guys broke? How's it look? Let Tyree answer that because she's going for finance, right?
Financial sector.
The treasurer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Treasurer.
So basically, we don't know where the money's at.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they'll give a financial report. One day it's high, one day it's low. It's just so confusing. They're supposed to put it in the Outlook. They don't do that either. They're not transparent. That's the whole bottom line to this.
Right.
It's like nothing is done correctly. Nothing is done the way it's supposed to be. And when you ask the question, you get shut down. Because I did ask about the virtual meeting. Mm-hmm. His answer to me was, it's not in the bylaws and National says we can't have virtual meetings, which we all know that's a lie.
That's absolutely a lie. There are branches all around the country that do virtual meetings without changes to their bylaws.
Exactly.
Oh,
but,
my
you know,
God.
Since, you know, basically everything is, you know, we can't see, we don't know, we don't have access to nothing.
Right.
It's just like, you know, be quiet, sit down, we're running this, this is how we're going to do it, whether you like it or not. And that's it. That's the bottom line.
Right.
You can't challenge them, because if you get challenged or you challenge them, here we go, you get blackballed. And basically, that's what it is. And as a union paying member, I believe that we all should be allowed to know transparency. We need to know what's going on, and we don't have that. And it's time for change. Like Brian and Carlton said, it's time for change. It's time to take Branch 36 out of the dinosaur age and bring it up to 2025.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and you're absolutely right about the points that you're making. Like when I went to the convention in Boston, I went to a training for branch trustees and I went to a training for branch finances, and they made it very clear that every member has the right to see everything in the books, you know, except for maybe like personal identifying information. Like you can't see your president's social security number, but whatever they're spending money on, you have every right to access that stuff. All that stuff is supposed to be readily available, public information. Anybody who asks for it, come on down. You can look at the books. But you have this problem of gatekeeping where management, or I'm sorry for slipping and calling them management, but if that's the way they act.
I mean it might as well be called that. Yep.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, they try to gatekeep and keep that information only to themselves. And here you guys are, you know, trying to push back against that. So what are some of the concrete changes, like culturally, that you want to institute when you get into branch leadership? Let's hear from Carlton. Brian, that's fine. Whoever.
No. Go ahead.
One of the things that is on my heart is also, especially what's happening at Brian's show that we want to change, is carries are getting robbed. You know, my
like literally robbed. Right.
They're getting robbed, or we just had somebody in our branch that you know, who was murdered at a deli. But at Bryan Station, somebody was robbed at gunpoint. The keys was taken, the scanner was taken, his wallet was taken, his cell phone was taken. These matters need to be addressed. We need to do something different. We need postal police out there. We need inspectors out there. We need NYPD. Even the branch need to be showing up to these stations and finding out what time they're being robbed is late, so we can get more manpower in that station. Maybe if we can increase the percentage of CCAs in that station and get the carriers off the station earlier, so it's a less risk of them being robbed. Addressing the issues. EAP, because again, they traumatize us what's going on there. Or even helping them with a CA-1 when they have to go out an injury to make sure they get paid while they're out. Because we are putting ourselves at risk.
Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds like your carriers are kind of being left to fend for themselves.
That is correct, sir.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, what's going on
exactly
here.
Right.
We have no protection. We have no support. We have nothing. It's just like you clock in, you hit in, go do your work, and I'll see you later. That's all that is. And that has to change because we're losing brothers and sisters, not only to things like robbery, we're losing members to health issues, you know? Mm-hmm. And I for one can honestly share with you that I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2023, and I had to fend for myself and find a way to pay my union dues, because if I didn't, I would get kicked out. And
right, and then you lose that insurance, yeah.
Yes, and they just don't care. They don't care about the members, and we need to show them that, yes, we do care. There's people here that do care. We care. And we want to show the membership that we can change this.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I see that another item on your guys' platform here is that you want to create a rainy day fund to give assistance to carriers when they're sick, when they're injured, when they need that assistance. And again, this is something that many branches have.
Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. You know, yeah. It's like when you're a union member, I mean, you want your union. I mean, for me, the idea of a union is beyond just sort of filing grievances and making sure you don't get fired.
Right.
I mean, the whole idea is to be there for you when you need it, not just when management is going after you.
Right.
And this branch, again, just doesn't do any of that at all. And I'm sorry to go back, but I know you asked something about finances.
Yeah.
So, you know, our branch, we never know what they're spending money on. They spend money all the time, and there's never a vote by the membership to approve or disapprove spending by the branch. So that's going to be number one.
That's got to be a bylaw violation. Like in the Constitution, there's a certain amount that you can specify in your bylaws. Like in my branch, it's $500. Anything under $500, they can spend with just internal, like executive board approval. But anything over that has to be voted on and approved by the branch. So you're saying that doesn't happen at your branch?
Never.
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't know about before me, but in my 23 years, they have never said or had a motion or anything like that that says, all right, guys, this is what we're going to try and spend money on. Is everybody okay with it or yes or no? Never has that happened in my life.
Oh my God.
Never. We asked to see the credit cards, and he said, we're not going to allow you to go fishing.
Oh my God. Holy crap.
We actually have the person, his name is John Mooney. He ran for president of our slate back in 2022. He's still on the ticket, but just not running for one of the full-time officers. He opened a Department of Labor investigation trying to get into the, you know, for being denied access to the branch's, you know, financial, you know, books.
Right.
That's just sort of just in the air right now. It's just pending. But, you know, we're trying. We're trying to get in there to see what's going on. You know,
That's crazy. I mean, again, the policy of the NALC, of any organization like this, is that it's run by the members. The members have every right to information. And the fact that your branch won't even let you look, like you ask and they say no, that's unbelievable to me. I mean, that screams corruption. Obviously, I don't have any evidence of wrongdoing, but the fact that they're trying to prevent you from seeing it, that's definitely troubling.
Right. It leaves no other, you know, rational conclusion other than to think you're hiding something.
Right.
You know, right.
You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tyree.
You know that saying that guilty conscience needs no accuser? I fully believe that's where we're at and that's where we're stuck. And until the members actually open their eyes, which many, many, many of them are actually opening their eyes, they're starting to see what we've seen years ago.
Right.
So, you know, it's sad, it's sad, but it's true. And we're here to help fix it.
Yeah. So I would tell you guys. Yeah, Brian, go ahead.
Sorry, just another example. Like, they keep changing the investments of where they put the union's money. They keep changing the investment portfolios. Every year, it changes. Mm-hmm. Not a peep. Wow. Not a peep. We don't know about it until they file the LM2s.
What sort of nest egg is your branch sitting on? Like, how much money, you know, generally?
It looks like it
we don't know.
It looks, well, I mean, according to the LM2s, it looks like it hovers around just under 2 mil.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty substantial. How many members are in your branch?
Right now, are you talking about total or active?
Let's go with active.
Probably in the 3,500 range.
Okay. Yeah, so that's right about in line with what my branch has. We have about 1 million, and we have about half as many members. So there's with money like that, with resources like that, there are a lot of good things that you can do. This is part of my own platform when we ran, is we want to do things that have tangible benefit for our carriers, you know, not just pizza party. Things like getting laptops for the stewards, or, you know, giving them a better way to file grievances, for example. What are some of the is that something you guys have a problem with as well, or what are some of the tangible things you'd like to do with this all this money?
Well, again, one of the rainy day fund is definitely one of the things we'd like to do. You know, we were even thinking I'll let Carlton handle the child care situation that we're thinking about.
There's a lot of things we are thinking about. All three of us used to teach at the academy, so we've been blackballed from teaching at the academy.
Hey, me too.
One of the experience that we experienced, especially one of the students after class, she was living in a shelter. She was living in a homeless shelter with her son, and she broke down and cried in front of me and said, "Sir, you know, I put on my makeup and I put on my best face, and I take my son to school. It is hard for me as a single mother." So we was talking about even having a daycare center for our employees, because it's tough out there. You have to show up to work. To drop your child at school and to pick them up at a certain time, we don't want our kids or employee kids to be in the police department. So maybe we can come up with a daycare center where we can have the kids be there. We can watch them until they get off the clock, and then they can pick up their child and they don't have to worry. These are one of the things that we want to come up with, because the credit union hall that we have is now vacant. The credit union got rid of the credit union, and they didn't let us know until like the day of.
Wow. Yeah, so it sounds like there are ways that you guys can pull together in solidarity and help each other out. And it feels like, so, you know, some of this stuff is going to require changes to the bylaws. Some of it is just a change in priorities or getting the union members to band together. And it sounds like you guys have the spirit to want to do those things, whereas the folks in power right now, maybe they just want to keep the status quo. And they're comfortable. Right.
We don't want to be distance. Like I said, they on the dinosaur, they on the A-track while the membership is on airdrop. We don't want to be distant. We want to be a voice. We want to meet their needs. Like the rainy day, even have uniforms for some of them, the CCAs. Some of the things that we want to do is even open up the membership, the branch, on the weekends. So we can reach to our younger employees, so they can have a voice, so they can have a support. That's what leadership is about. We're supposed to be the support system, being the voice for them and listening to them. That's what they voted us in, to listen to the body.
100%.
And that has not been happening with this current leadership, listening what the problems going on with the bodies, so we can meet their needs. Leadership has a ship at the end. So when it goes out into the water and goes through the current, that's when leadership show up and meet the needs of the membership.
Damn right. So I just had David Grosskopf out of Buffalo on my podcast. That episode drops this morning as we record this. And he and I are in agreement. It sounds like you guys are too, that people in leadership, they are the servant of the people they're leading. Correct. They are there to work for those people.
We're here to serve. Action.
Yep.
You're paying us.
Exactly.
They pay us.
Yeah, right. The person who's paying the person who's getting paid works for the people who are paying them. That is normally the way it is.
That is correct.
Yeah, 100%. So before I let you guys go, I want to talk about some of the unique challenges of being a letter carrier in New York City. So I see these reels on Instagram of a realtor in New York who shows these apartments. And there's like tiny one-bedroom apartments. Like the bedrooms are measured by, this is a twin-size bedroom and this is a queen-size bedroom, for like the bed fills the whole room. And then the one-bedroom apartment will rent for like $3,000 a month. So you make the same salary there that, you know, that everybody else in the country makes. How do carriers survive?
It is struggling.
It's tough. Yep. It's tough for a lot of our memberships. A lot of them are living paycheck to paycheck. I deliver mail. I mean, one of my buildings is like a hotel, because the rent over there is like $10,000.
Oh my God.
$15,000 on West End. And membership are struggling. That's why I said there's quite a few of our members, and they keep it quiet, that are living in shelter.
Right.
I had one carrier, he would sit upstairs until about 5-6 o'clock, and then he would walk down to the men's shelter. Mm-hmm. And it's sad, it breaks our heart that we don't have some type of finance or something to help some of our membership that is struggling. Things are expensive, especially in the area, in the Midtown area, with the congestion price. So we need to do something different, to have something for a rainy day to help some of our members to make it through. Or even like Branch 41 has a shower for some of the carriers where they can take a bath. So they can get cleaned up, have a little spot where they can come in and say, hey, if you need to come in or take a shower or sit down for a while and get your head straight, get it clear. Because your mind is not clear, it's not easy for you to function. And it's tough nowadays where things are getting expensive. Eggs are expensive. Milk are expensive. It's hard to maintain a family living in New York in today's world.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for the younger people, the CCA is coming in at only $20 an hour. I mean, it's basically impossible to live like that.
Well, a lot of them are still living with their parents.
Brian,
I'm glad you touched on that, because again, that's one of these points that we'd like to make here is where letter carriers are not getting compensated at a rate that they should, and you got this TA that was negotiated by the national president, and then because our president is a part of the executive board, I mean, he took it upon himself to go to every station in Manhattan and Bronx to try and convince the carriers to vote for the TA.
Wow.
And and it was just, this contract is terrible.
Right.
And you never see this guy. You can go your whole career and never see this president. But here he is going to station trying to convince everybody to take this contract. I mean, it's a bad sign when you have to go out and try to convince people to take a contract. It's never happened before.
Right.
Yeah, it's never happened before.
Idea is it sells itself if it's that good. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So 1.3%, I mean, it's just, who are you kidding? And now that it got voted down, now they want to claim we're going to fight like hell and make sure you guys get what you deserve. What are you talking about? You guys already agreed that this is what we deserve.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point.
It just doesn't make any sense. And like I said, these guys got to go. It's time for change.
So, I was looking at past TAs, and I noticed every time a new TA comes along, it's less and less money.
Yes.
It doesn't go up. Instead of going up, we keep going backward. Hence, here we say again that this administration is still in the dinosaur age. It's like we can't even keep saying it and repeating it, and we're gonna, until we can't breathe no more. It's time for change, and we're here to fight. We're here to fight, and we're gonna fight to the end. We really are.
Right on. Yeah. I'm for it, guys.
Yeah, it really needs to change. I mean, we just came through COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We were the front line. We were like the Marines out there. Where's the hazard pay? I was a facilitator. I was the only one facilitating during COVID, because they said if anything happened to me, they was going to shut down the academy.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I did what I had to do, say my prayer, drink my ginger, pray with some of the students because they didn't know what was going on. Remember, you know, a couple of carriers passed away at different stations. And to give us a contract like that and not give us some type of hazard pay for what we went through, because our current administration, when COVID hit, they were home.
Right. Yeah. They could work for remotely or, they didn't have to be.
We couldn't do that.
Right. They didn't have to be in a station with 100 other carriers all breathing the same air.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, that's the truth.
They sure had Zoom meetings then.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this mentality, look, there some of these things like the tentative agreement, it's not something that you can change on the branch level, but this is where that leadership comes from, that you guys want better for your carriers. You're interested in positive change. You're interested in opening things up to the members in your branch and having a more open house and clearly more solidarity. And all this is stuff that I can get behind. I'm sure my listeners can get behind it as well. So, guys, I'm here for it. I'm really glad that Brian reached out to me to get you guys on the podcast. And I'm rooting for you. You know, I don't know much about the person you're running against, but I definitely know that status quo. So I'm going to open it to you guys if you want to have any final message before we get out of here. Anything you want to say either to letter carriers as a whole or specifically to people listening in New York?
Yeah, just whoever has passion for the city letter carrier. And if you're working in a branch or you see that your union is just not doing what they're supposed to do and you have that sort of itch within you, like things could be better, I say, you know, spark it up. I mean, do what you need to do and challenge them. Challenge whoever is the one that's not doing what they're supposed to do. Stop complaining unless you're going to try and do something about it. Either help those who are challenging them or stop complaining. That's kind of where I'm at.
That's it. Carlton, you're running for president, man. What do you got to say?
Yes. We're running as a change maker. And if you want to see a difference, give us a shot out there. That's why we said change, time for change. It is time for a change. It's time for us to stop complaining. It's time for us to start doing something different. You see what the current administration is doing. This is why we stepping out. This is why we blackball. This is why we out there to make that change. We want to be a voice for the body. And we want to sit down and go to every station and hear the stories and what changes we can make happen so they can feel empowered and feel that they have a union behind them again. Just like back in the days when they felt that when the union show up, management is going to make a difference. That's what we want to bring back again. And this is why we say it's time for change.
Absolutely. All right, Tayree, anything you want to add on the end here? I'll give you the last word.
I just want to say that I am behind my brothers 2,000%. I am so glad they accepted me into this slate. It gives me empowerment because, like I said, I've been going through a rough couple of 2 years. And just give us that chance, and we will show you what we're about. We're here for the membership. We're here for your families, for your children, and for the future of the Postal Service. That's what we're here for. We're here to save our jobs. Not only mine, but we're here to save everybody's job. And this job includes you, your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. That's what we're here to fight for your rights, and for you to have a better future. So it's time for change, guys. Just give us that chance. That's all we're asking for. Thank you so much for having us.
You're very welcome, guys.
Yes, thank you, Alan.
Yeah, you bet. All right, so for Carlton, for Brian, for Tayree, guys, thank you so much for coming on to Classes of Mail. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. If you are in the New York area and you want to support these guys, please do. Obviously, this is the kind of mentality that we need in our union. We need people who are there to be leaders of their branch, to serve the people who pay them, and to support positive change. Mm-hmm. So thanks again for coming on, guys, and thanks for listening.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, I'll catch you later.